Turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 1, the Gospel according to John chapter 1. I pray that God will not pass us by this morning or leave us to ourselves, our own thoughts and ways, that He would visit us, teach us and lead us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the Word, by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness were unable to perceive it, comprehended it not. But there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that Christ, the Word, was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, the Jewish nation, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. And the Word, from verse 1, was made flesh. The Creator of all things was made flesh. The Creator of this world and the life and light of all men who come into the world was made flesh and came down here and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. That's my subject this morning. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not shadows, not types, but grace and truth. Not images, but truth and reality came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Job said one time, he said, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And in thy light I abhor myself, I repent in dust, cloth, and ashes." There's not very much of the mystery left in religion in our day, sad to say. I don't know who would say, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now I see. Now I see. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once dead. I passed from death unto life." What great mysteries. Nowadays we have in many circles three easy steps to eternal life. Do you believe the Word of God? Yeah, everybody believes the Bible. Well, the Bible says you're a sinner. You believe that? Sure, I believe that. Well, the Bible says Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from their sins. You believe that? Yeah. Well, call on the name of the Lord, and they give him something to say, and he repeats it, and he pats him on the head, a soul winner. And now, don't ever doubt. Right on your way. You're saved. You're saved. That's not the way it works. You run along now. Don't ever doubt. We live in a day when, like the Jews, they compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he's made, he's twofold more a child of hell than the preacher who made him, who proselyted him. We just want to get some kind of commitment, get them into religion, baptize them, some kind of profession of faith, any way to get them in, get them in the church. Justification is through faith. I understand that, but faith in the truth, faith in Christ, the true Christ, the Christ of the Scriptures, Christ known and Christ revealed. I remember reading many years ago a book entitled Knowing Christ. And that had an impact on me, my life, my ministry, knowing Christ. Salvation is knowing Christ. Knowing Christ. If you know him, you'll believe on him, you'll trust him, you'll come to him, you'll love him, you'll serve him. If you know him. If he's been revealed to you, been made known to you by the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him, should have eternal life, should not perish, but have eternal life. Believe in him. Those people looked at that serpent and saw what it was, and in the obedience of faith, they looked at that serpent and they never died. The same way with the Lord Jesus. If we ever see him exalted, lifted up, who he is, where he is, in the obedience of faith, we live and not die. The dying men looked and lived. Spurgeon said, there's life in a look. He said that so many times. There's life in a look. Dead man can't work, but he can look. He can look. Look unto me and be ye saved. All ye ends of the earth, I'm God. There's none else. Look to me. Be you saved. In our text, you'll note that only those who beheld his glory, those are the ones who were born again. Those are the ones who were born from above, born of God, beheld his glory. Do we see the glory of God in the face of the lowly Nazarene, the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He also commanded the light to shine in their hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They looked at that lowly Nazarene. He looked like other men. He dressed like other men. He talked like other men. But they looked at him and they just saw the glory of God in the face of that man. They bowed to him. They worshipped him. They served him. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Heard a preacher one time talking about they have these vacation schools where the kids in the summer all go to a camp someplace, and they talk to them and supposedly teach them and proselyte them and ask them if they're saved and do you want to be saved. All these psychological pressure. And this little girl, she was a grown woman at that time, missionary's daughter. The preacher had them all come, and it came her turn. She came up and the preacher said, young lady, are you saved? And she said, yes. He said, how you know? She said, the missionary told me. Missionary told me. He looked at her and said, honey, God has to tell you you're saved. Man can't tell you that. And she dropped her face in her hands and wept and wept and said, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. But that preacher, that cursed preacher, talked me in. She never said that part. I added that. That's what happened. A soul winner. Trying to do God's work. He couldn't leave it as it was at Pentecost. Couldn't leave it as it was through the Acts of the Apostles. He had to help God out. And when he started helping God out, he lost him. He lost God. He was left on his own. Yeah, she buried her face in her hands and said, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. We beheld his glory. What does that mean? What was the glory in Israel? The tabernacle, later the temple, where God dwelt with them. The Shekinah glory. We beheld it in the Son of God. This man, this lowly Nazarene, saw the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. God in the Old Testament tabernacled in their midst. It was a tabernacle which they rejoiced in. It was a tabernacle where they went to offer sacrifices and be blessed of God. It was a tabernacle where the glory dwelt. Where the glory dwelt. God dwelt in the midst of them at the tabernacle. They met with God. Our tabernacle is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, the Son of God, made in the likeness of human flesh. Glory, glory, the tabernacle was the Shekinah, called the Shekinah glory. That's in the holy place, the most holy place. The Shekinah glory, cloud, representing the glory, the presence and the glory of God. Only one man could go in there, and only once a year, the great high priest, the high priest, he went in there once a year, and not without blood, and he offered it upon the mercy seat, and God met with him there and blessed him, and he went out and blessed the people. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ in reality. He is Christ, and all the fullness of God dwelt in him. He said, you've seen me, you've seen God. I am God. God manifest in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God manifest in the flesh. And that's the end of the temple. That's the end of the images and shadows and sacrifices of the Old Testament. That's all done and passed, because the real thing has come, the real person. We also see in this text, I think we see Christ surpassing excellence. The law came by Moses, but both grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came, he is grace and he is truth. Not images, not shadows of good things to come, but he's the end of those shadows. He's the end of the Old Testament offerings and sacrifices and priesthood and all that stuff. He's the end of it, the sum and substance of it, the reality of it. And it's all past and done and fades away, gone. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. True, there was grace in those ceremonies. But there was repeated sacrifices, the remembrance of sin, a ceremony for access, all of these things over and over and over. Once a year and all year long. But Christ is full of grace. Full of grace. And then the tabernacle was full of truth. It was not full of truth, rather, but image and type and shadows and pictures. And Christ is the substance. He's not a picture. He's the end of those pictures. He's the reality. Come to dwell among us. He is grace and truth. He's the way, the truth, the life. He is salvation itself. The Lord Jesus Christ. Those who beheld him, I give you this much about them. If you have beheld the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, I can say these things about you. Those who beheld him were favored people. Christ looked at his apostles one day and said, blessed are your eyes because you see. God giving you eyes to see. If you beheld him, it's because you're born of God. God giving you eyes to see. If you've seen his glory, you don't see a pygmy. You don't see a helpless beggar savior like the world's talking about. See the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. These people were a favored people. They were born of God, a miracle of grace. They were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. We hear talked about in our day. They're born of God. And listen to me. They had no more to do with their new birth than they had to do with their first birth. They were totally passive, born of God. Something God did for them, God did in them. Made them new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a great mystery. Christ told Nicodemus, he said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it's coming, where it came from, where it's going. So is everyone that's born to the Spirit of God. The wind sweeps across his soul through the preaching of the word, the hearing of the word, and a new life appears. He's created anew. He's born of God. A new nature, a new being, a new something inside him. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Great mystery. But we ought to be so thankful. If God had left these people alone, these apostles, they'd have still been fishing. God left us alone, we'd still believed a lie someplace. Because this is an absolute truth. Christ said himself. You believe the Bible? You believe what Christ said? If Christ told you, would you believe it? Christ says concerning every one of us by nature, this is condemnation. Light, Christ, truth, light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. We'd rather hear a lie about who we are and how we can save ourselves than hear the truth about what we are and how desperately we need God. Light. Light. Truth. They were a called people. Favored people, a called people. 1 Corinthians 1, I won't turn there, but it's those who, the gospel is preached to the Jew and to the Greek, but it never saved either one unless they were called. 1 Corinthians 1:24, call of God. Call of God. And then it goes on down a couple more verses and said, you see, your calling, brethren, not many wise, noble, mighty after the flesh did God ever call. Left them. But the key to that is those whom he called, they're saved. The gospel becomes the power of God and the wisdom of God for those who are the call of God. These people are also an illuminated people. They're an enlightened people. God turned on the light, shined into their hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He came into this world, he who made it. They turned thumbs down on him. They received him not. Came to his own, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, of whom he was prophesied and predicted to come. All the promises were unto the Jewish fathers through them, and they received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood. That's the key. They're born of God. Those who receive him are only those who are born of God. God's given them a new nature. God turned on the light. They have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to perceive. And they beheld and do behold his glory. His own received him not. Although they saw him in the flesh, they beheld not his glory. They beheld his miracles, heard his preaching. They saw the wonders which he did. They didn't see his glory. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, they crucified him because they didn't see his glory. He was the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. And they crucified him not knowing it. They hated him without a cause. Spurgeon once said one time, he said, and to this day, brethren, it's the same. None believe in Christ but those who are his sheep. No man cometh unto him except the Father draw him. None ever perceive him but those whose eyes are opened by his own healing fingers. God has to give us eyes to see his Son. Let the question be passed round among us, Spurgeon said. Do I perceive his glory? Have I seen something of the splendor of God in the humble man of Nazareth? Have I learned to magnify him in my soul? Have I desired to glorify him in my life as my God, my life, my love, my all in all? Have I seen this? Are these things true of me? Though once despised and rejected of men. Well, if so, beloved, we can say this from our heart. We are favored indeed. If you've seen him in those ways, you're favored indeed. The world didn't see him. His people didn't see him. They rejected him. They crucified him. They hated him. Favored indeed, and especially favored if we remember how many there are who have never obtained this grace. Not many great men after the flesh are called of God. Not many great men after the flesh are born of God, and therefore they don't behold his glory. The key word here is beheld. We beheld his glory. That's a good word. It doesn't mean a quick glance. It means you gaze upon him. You're attracted to him. You've seen something in him that got your attention. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is not merely seeing him in the flesh. Most of those who saw him in the flesh died in their sins. Most of those who saw his miracles and his wonders and heard his preaching died in their sins. But you must see him. And only God can give eyes to see him. You can't save yourself, but you can look. Look. Look at him in the scriptures. We speak many times wistfully. One old preacher said, wishing that we could have walked with him in the flesh during his earthly ministry. What a glory it would have been. But Paul says, I knew him after the flesh, but no more. What our knowledge I have of is spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. I've seen him. I've seen his glory. God turned on the light. I've seen him as he is. One old preacher said, Spurgeon said, think me not enthusiastic or fanatical when I say that the children of God today have as near access to Christ in the Spirit as ever John had in the flesh. We can see him as clearly as ever John could see him, or Peter or James. We see him with the eye of faith. We see him by the Spirit and grace of God. And it seems like being there in the flesh was a distraction rather than an attraction. The fellow, he wrote this play, Passion of Christ. I wrote an article in response to that. And the passion. All they could possibly see and paint and talk about was the physical sufferings. But if that's all a man ever sees, he'd never seen anything. Those standing around him, they saw the physical sufferings. They gazed upon a man who'd been beaten so much, so bad, that he hardly looked like a man anymore. Covered with blood and stripes from beatings. We ought to be moved by those things. I'll tell you what, we've got to see. We've got to see him bearing our sins, deserted by the Father, hanging in a land of darkness for 3 hours, crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Until you see something and understand something of that, you've never seen the cross. Never seen the heart of the cross, the heart of his suffering. These eyes have never seen the Savior, but this heart has, through faith in the Word. I've received it into my heart by the grace of God. I've seen his glory with the eye of faith. I see a man who lived and died for sinners, for his people. Lived and died for sinners. Why was he living on this earth? For sinners. Why did he come down here? For sinners. Why did he suffer the contradiction of sinners against himself all the days of his life? For sinners. Because he was going to save some sinners. He lived for them and he died for them. I see glory in his shame. I see honor in his disgrace. I see riches in his poverty. I see great power in his weakness. I see triumph in his conflict, and I see life rising out of his death. The glory of God in this man. I've seen the glory of his complex person. This is wonder. The gloriously unique God-man. God-man. I've seen the glory of his complex person. He is the Word become flesh. He is the eternal Son of God, become the Son of Mary. God in all that's God-like, he never ceased to be God. Man in all that's man-like, yet without sin. We don't doubt his humanity, this God-man. Because we saw him die. We don't doubt his deity. Because we saw him stand up and lay aside of his grave clothes and walk out of the tomb. God, have the power to lay it down. He said, I have the power to take it up again. The God-man, gloriously unique God-man. Mr. Spurgeon once again said, We have seen the luster of his of a beauty which far outshines all that earth can ever give us, or all that heaven can offer us in him. Whom have we on earth but Jesus? Who is there in heaven that we can compare to him? None. We've looked upon him giving up everything for us. Giving up everything for us. Renouncing his crown and his scepter, laying aside his royal robe and majesty and splendor, leaving his father's house and palaces and honor, becoming a man, no more than that, a poor man, a despised and afflicted man, an obedient man unto death, even the death of the cross. And he did it on purpose. And he did it willingly. And he did it from his heart. Danny, for us. Did it from his heart. Did it on purpose. Did it with understanding what lay ahead. Spurgeon said once again, in him, selfishness never lived. He was a selfless person. His first breath. His conception, his first breath, his birth, every step of his life was for somebody else, not for himself, for the glory of God. Selfishness never lived in him, and therefore never needed to be kept in check. He was the selfless Son of God, Son of Man, God-man, a body hast thou prepared me the suffering of death. He was not his own. His whole history could be written in these words. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. He had to give himself, all of himself, entirely to save us. He gave himself for others. Glorious Christ, mysterious, amazing Christ, that while he was rejected of men, we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. I ask you this morning, have you seen the glory? The exaltation. Glory is that wherein you're exalted above all others. Have you seen him as the all-glorious creator? The all-glorious ruler of this world? Sustainer of this world? And the all-glorious and only Savior? Gave himself, did it all himself. What do we have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He did all the work. God sent him, made him to be a propitiation for our sins. Satisfaction for our sins. By one offering, listen to this. I wish this could sink in our heart. By one offering. But one of he hath perfected forever those for whom he died. Made them perfect. Made them accepted of God. Reconciled them to God by that one offering. What can we add to that? You try to add anything to it and you lost it. You lost it. And no more offering for sin. You know, he has finished the task of redemption. He's ascended back to the Father, and we rejoice in that. He sits upon the throne of all glory and all power and all grace. He has universal dominion over all things. He has on his belt the keys of hell and death. He is there ever ready to show mercy. John saw a vision of him, symbolism in the revelation. He said when he heard that voice and turned and saw, he fell at his feet as one dead. The glory of the Nazarene. But he reached down and touched him on the shoulder. He said, John, it's me. I'm he that was alive and was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. Had mercy. Had mercy on him. You know, you can get religion, but it won't change you internally to get religion. But when you see the Lord, it'll change you. It'll change you. It'll change you. We continue to try to learn of Christ. Pray that we may learn, and pray that we may learn of him and see his glory. Preach him and hear of him. We want to see him. We want to go from glory to glory by the Spirit and grace of God. We want to see him as he is. We see him in this book by faith when God makes it real to our hearts. And so the song that Kevin sung this morning, Pass Me Not, that's my song always. That's always my song. I can't help myself. But I can look into the Word. I can sit before the Word and say, Lord, while you're speaking to others, speak my name. Call on me. Don't pass me by. Don't leave me to myself. May God help us as a church here and individuals. May he not leave us to ourselves. Because there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Whichever way man chooses is a way to death. We need God's way. We need Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We beheld his glory. May God bless each of us with an increased vision of the glory of the Savior. Okay. Okay.